Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, Director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Thank you guys for coming and being participants at the mission and on the radio show by listening and all your donations. I so much appreciate all of you. Those that can't donate monetarily, who write and say, I'm praying for you, or they come down for a tour. I appreciate you all. It doesn't matter whether your donation is a dollar or $10,000 or whether or not you can only pray. Trust me, the Bible tells us that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And so, if you're praying for us on a regular basis, you're every bit as much a donor as those that are donating financially. And you know, I got to tell you something. It's just a little thing. For many years, I did commercial air conditioning, and I always looked to October 1 because it was like you could breathe again. The heat was off the land. There was a little respite time before, you really needed to get the big stores fired up with heat. And so that stuck with me all these years. And so this October, we didn't have October until today. And it's supposed to be getting better this next week. But I have that same feeling, that kind of feeling of optimism and looking forward. You know, fall is the time when the holidays are ahead of us and the cooler weather is coming, and we can once again kind of catch our breath from the heat. It is a fact that sometimes in the wintertime, it becomes more and more difficult for those that are living out on the street. And certainly the majority of you that listen to this show are donors to the mission. And in the last few days, I've had several people who listen to the radio show come and take a tour at the mission. I invite you guys too, if you would like to come and have a tour and see what the donations are doing, what it is we're all about. Nothing's really ever hidden there. And you know, one thing I forgot to talk about much, I went in to check on the women's clothes closet the other day, and the volunteers were all in there, and we have an amazing group of women who volunteer, and some of them, you know, will teach a class or something like that. The vast majority of them are there on the days when the women's clothes closet is not open. And what they are doing is they're sorting the clothes, getting clean clothes, displaying them, getting ready for the next day when the women come. Some of them, of course, are there on that day as well. And so, for all you ladies out there that volunteer in the women's clothes closet, never think that you are overlooked, because I see how hard you guys work, and I'm proud of every single one of you that do that. The mission is a very special place, and regardless of what people may or may not say, the reality is we have never changed what our call is. We've never changed how we say it, because the truth is the truth, and we can't change that. And we're not trying to. The people that work at the mission, the vast majority of it, want the kingdom of God to be advanced. And one of those primary examples is a guy that is sitting across from me. He's got probably like the best name you can get for a guy. His name is Tim also. Okay, that was self-serving. Never mind. But Timothy, he actually came through the program many, many years ago. And so I'd like to introduce to you Tim Trenum. He is the kitchen supervisor. He's manager. He runs the whole show back there, and he does it very well. I've never had anybody in that kitchen that ran it as well as Tim has run it. So, Timothy, could you tell me just a little bit about your journey to the mission?
It was interesting, to say the least. I worked pretty much all my life. I've had very good jobs, and you and I have talked, and I've told you God used to bless me in spite of myself. Not living for him, and I was still being blessed with good opportunities and good jobs. And I worked, and I was a functioning alcoholic for 33 years, or close to 35 years, and a smoker and a fornicator and everything that comes along with the drinking. I definitely didn't live a righteous life. I was raised in the church, you could say. And so I was very aware that there was a God, that there is a God, and there always will be a God. And it was just turning my life over to that God. I managed to come to the Union Gospel Mission 14 years ago. Today is my 14th year of sobriety. So, and that's nothing to do with me. It's God in me that took that vice from me. I came with no sense of purpose, no sense of direction. I was amazed that there was a place to come and for no money and opened arms and welcomed me in and says, you know, we have a place for you if you want to get your life together and learn about Christ. And I was just kind of floored, one, being no money. I didn't have any money. I spent all the money I had. I took out my 401k from the previous job and just went on the lam, if you will. Just wherever the marbles fall, they will fall. And I wound up the Union Gospel Mission. That was many, many years ago. But in these 14 years, God has put a purpose in my life and a sense of him, if you will. I guess it's hard to explain, but I come to work with joy because I'm doing God's work.
Amen.
I feel I'm in the trenches doing God's work. He wants us to feed, and I do my best trying to please him and not so much the mission. You know, I want to make sure I'm doing everything right in God's eyes. So I'm totally blessed to be here, be a part of the interaction with our guests, which are our homeless guests, and just to seeing and able to be a part of giving them some joy and know that there's hope through Christ. And hopefully I'm walking in a way that people can say, I remember him. You know, I remember him when he was in the program, and now he's not in the program. He's much healthier and happier. And you know, and that's, like I said, that has nothing to do with me. It has to do with this mission that God put here on this 1 acre. And it's always been a blessing, and it always will be a blessing.
You know, that is, you were alluding to earlier, and you said you went to church, and you went to a church that I know is kind of a works-oriented church. And so after coming to the mission and all those years of growing up, with the idea that you had to work your way into heaven, when you started hearing about grace and about it not being of yourself, how did that affect your outlook on who you were?
Well, it allowed me to let go of these teachings that was pounded in my head since I was a little kid and know that God sent his son for me to die for my sins. You know, and how unworthy I am of that, and that I can be free in him and know that, you know, once I turn my life over to him, focus on him, and everything I try to do is to please God, you know, and that gives me that sense of peace because I know where I'm going. You know, I don't do the things that I used to do. I don't say the things I used to say. I'm just a better man with God in my life today. And like I said, it's thanks to this mission and the teachings. And, you know, we always have to do the footwork. God said, I'll always provide a way, but you have to do the footwork. So
sure.
There were struggling times. I'm not going to say it was
easy.
And
still are.
And there still are. I'm not going to say it's easy, but my heart's full. You know, I searched many years to find a purpose and a filling in my heart. And that was through women, alcohol, drugs, whatever I thought I could try to fill this void.
Yep.
I was able to find it here at the mission. But better yet, it's God that fills my heart today.
You are absolutely right. And one of the things that we have talked about many times is the cart before the horse. And the cart before the horse is, I'm going to work my way. I'm going to do everything I can to please God so I can get into his kingdom. And reality is, you're never going to get there that way. You are putting the cart before the horse. So what is the proper way? The proper way is you come to Jesus by faith. You are saved by grace through faith, and this not of yourself. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And when you do it that way, when you come by faith, you realize that you can't do anything to save yourself. You're not better than anybody. You're not smarter than anybody. You have to come by faith alone. But when you come by faith alone, what happens? You're transformed. Now, instead of trying to work your way into heaven, you are saved, you're on your way to heaven, and now those works that used to be so laborious now are out of gratitude to the salvation that only Jesus could pay.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So after you got to the mission, when do you remember at all when you first started to realize that it really is by grace alone?
I did that before I got to the mission, actually.
Okay.
I was in the hotel room waiting to get in to the mission. It was full at the time, and I had a few extra dollars. I had like $300 left when I got here, and I was at the Motel 6, and I just hit my knees that first night and just cried out to Christ to, you know, accept me back, you know, and apologize for me turning my back on him. And that was, I think, my transformation, because God then started to intercede. And the sixth day, I was getting ready to move out of the hotel, and I called down the mission. They had me call every day, and Steve Jarrett said, "We got a bed, come down." And I came down, and that's Christ was orchestrating that whole thing.
Yeah,
I believe that.
Oh, I believe
in my heart, because I wound up getting in that day. And then I went through the program and graduated, and then I was offered an intern position by you. And the first thing I said, and I remember, I says, "Let me pray on it."
Yep.
And I asked you to. I would have never said that before. I would have made a snap judgment call just based on what I wanted to do, not what God wanted for me to do. So I remember that day like it was yesterday. I says, "No, let me pray on it. I'm not sure." And I knew right then, now God is in me. He's leading me. I'm not relying on myself, my own decisions. I'm relying on God leading me. I'm going through an issue right now. And I'm not going to go into it, but it's personal. But, you know, and I'm just praying for him to guide me, because
Amen.
The decisions I make today is based on what I believe God wants for me.
Amen. I agree with that. I'm going through similar things. I just wanted you to know, you know, the devotional the other night was based on Mark 9, where Jesus just come from the Mount of Transfiguration, and there is a man, and he is begging for his son to be healed,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a demoniac. This is a man that was... not him, but his son was possessed by a devil.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute Jesus came up, he starts throwing the boy onto the ground, and just all kinds of things are going on. And two of the outstanding things that he said was, one, he said, "If you can, help us," right? Jesus' reply to him was, if I can. There was no question if he could. And then the most interesting statement, and I have pondered it, and I've thought about it, and I've been grateful that this is my heart sometimes too. He said, "I believe, now cure my unbelief." And so my question is, so many of us, I believe all of us at some juncture can say, I believe, but cure my unbelief. It's not an irrational statement. It is a man who says, I believe, but he realizes his own insufficiency in everything. He realizes he doesn't even know his own heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is asking, God, I believe, cure my unbelief. Here's the good news. The good news is that if that's a prayer of your heart, that's not the prayer of a person who the world could never say that. The lost don't ever say Mm-mm. that. The lost don't say, oh, I want to know Jesus better. I want to know Jesus with my whole heart. Lord God, please, you know, just fill me and you know, I want to love you with my whole mind, body, and spirit and my strength. Who does that? Not unbelievers.
No.
Right?
I pray for God every day to teach me how to love him more every day. It's in my morning prayer every single day. And I want to learn to love him more.
Me too.
You know, because that's what I get up for in the morning today. I don't get up for Tim. I get up to be a body that I can help what God needs the help to be. And I'm so blessed that it was at the mission. I've learned so much about myself. I've learned so much about giving back. I was always selfish. I was in, you know, sales for many years, and that's a cutthroat, you know.
Brother, we're all selfish.
You know, that could be cutthroat. Not everybody. I'm not saying every person in sales is, but I'm saying
it can be.
It can if you want to make money and stuff. And you know, and here I don't have to be any of those things because God's transformed me. I'm a different person. I'm not the person I was when I walked in the door of the Amen. Union Gospel Mission 14 years ago. I'm just a better person today. You know, on the road of sanctification, am I where I'm supposed to be? No, but I'm where God wants me today, you know? And I just strive every day to be a better man through him.
Yeah, and for those of you out there that believe you can reach a stage in your sanctification here on earth where you've reached perfection, really? Because that means that every thought, word, and deed for every moment of your life has to be absolutely pure. And if you think you're there, don't tell me that. You haven't gotten there. You know what? And you're in more trouble than the guy out on the street who knows he's a sinner. Because you have fooled yourself. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, the truth isn't in us, and we are liars. And so when you come to the realization, like Tim is talking about, the other Tim here, we call it Timothy 1 and Timothy 2. But when you come to the end of yourself and you realize there is absolutely nothing I can do to get right with God, and I am a mess. And even after you've come to Christ, you need to always look at your life. I can't tell you, even as a pastor, director of the mission, all those kind of things, how many times in my life I go, why do I do this again? Why do I get angry? Why do I do this? Why? Because we're still people with feet of clay.
Amen.
But that is not the signifier of our walk with Christ. I have asked many people, what are you depending on for God to let you into his kingdom? And if you tell me, well, I'm not a bad guy. I'm a good father. I provide for this. And yeah, I do this, but okay, that's a wrong answer. What is the right answer, Tim?
It's by grace.
By grace, through faith.
That's it.
And there's no other answer to it. But here's a wonderful thing. God saves us first from ourselves. And if you ask people, well, what is God saving you from? Yourself. Many of them will say the devil. Okay, that's wrong. You're being saved from God. because the wrath of God is upon those who do not believe. And so yes, it's by grace through faith, but then not only that, but when God sees us, Christ has imputed, meaning he has put his righteousness on us, so that the Father doesn't see us as the imperfect, broken people we are, but as righteous before him. And so wherever we are in our sanctification, when we go home to be with the Lord, we'll be welcomed into the kingdom, not by what we've done, but by who we have believed in and put our faith in.
Amen.
And you can't just say, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, great. The devil believes in Jesus too. And the minions tremble.
Yes.
What it means to come to faith in Christ is it means that you are placing your faith and your trust in Christ Jesus. And so that's why you, Tim, are standing or sitting here telling me and this audience that you are trying right now to make some serious decisions that you're doing, and you're doing it how? In prayer. And so we're going through odd times, all of us. I know I'm going through a few things, as you know, Tim, mm-hmm. and I know some of the things you're going through as well. And so the question is, what do we do that pleases the Lord? Not what do I do to please the Lord so he'll do something for me.
Exactly.
But what do I do? What is it the Lord wants me to do? What will it do to somebody around me? And so everything is based too on, we want other people to go to heaven too, right?
Amen.
And by the way, Christian out there, if you want to go to heaven and you're okay to go by yourself, you better check to see if you're actually a believer, because that's not how that works, right? So at any rate, we got about 2 minutes left before the show is over. I'd like you to come back next week and be on the show with me. And we'll talk about some mechanics of the things that you do.
Mechanics. I like that.
Well, you know, people think of your local mechanic or your air conditioning guy or your electrician as mechanical things we're doing. But what they don't understand is that in a kitchen like yours, which is a humming, busy kitchen, we'll talk about some of that too, is there are mechanics involved in it.
Absolutely.
There are things you need to do on a regular basis without question in a certain order, or it isn't going to work right. And I know that over the course of the years, it's sometimes been a struggle for you to get people to actually do it that way. So we're down to 1 minute. Anything real quick you'd like to say?
Just like to thank each and every one of the people who pray for the Union Gospel Mission and us and our guests. And thank you much if you donate. Even like Pastor said, your prayers are donations, and we truly appreciate them.
Amen. And so his feeling in this regard is my feeling in this regard. And we've been together a long time, 14 years. And we've been out to lunches and dinners, and we have prayed together. And I know that there's been many tears in my heart. And so, as always, my dear friends, until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
Listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to UGMSAC.com, UGMSAC.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.